With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Fred of Texas, this is the Fred Hughes Show. With each episode, we introduce to you an inspiring person or message to help you grow and unlock your potential in life. I'm Fred Hughes, professional photographer, pastor, teacher, author, and your show host. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to this episode brought to you by the Faithful Partners of Decision Ministry. Okay, well, my goodness, this is a picture of my sister-in-law. Right there she is, folks. We're going to have a good time together tonight, and this is our little weekly 7 o'clock meeting, and I'm calling it the Fred Hughes Show. I've been struggling for a little while to come up with a name, and everybody just said, well, that's your podcast, so why don't you just do that? So anyway, we're gonna have the Fred Hughes Show tonight, and that's gonna be fun. This is my sister-in-law, whom you're looking at right now. I put the pretty part on first, of course, and my brother. They're coming. I'll give them a formal introduction here just in a few minutes and tell you all about them. I just want to remind you that we have the ability for you to call in at any point in time. That number, I'll flash it across the screen as well. But that number, I want to give you that right off the bat. It's 806-338-2929. It's 806 number. So that is, you can call in and people are awaiting on that line. They can speak Spanish or they can speak English. So if something strikes your heart and you want to just have somebody pray with you or agree with you in prayer over something, maybe this presentation will kind of pull your heartstrings and you might decide you need to, you're getting a call from God tonight. And so you call us that number, and I'll put it back up on the screen some too, but it's there for you to where it makes this thing a third dimension, where it's not just me and my guests, but it's you that are out there, that you have the opportunity to reach in. Also, you can type in or whatever field, maybe even some of those questions, or do the best that we can to try to get back to you and give you some answers or whatever. We love comments. It's always good. Like it if you ring the little bells and ding the little whatever you do on that. That really does help us get the word out to a greater community, and more people have opportunity to see the programming and whatnot. Coming up, we have next week. I have a guy named Stephen Horridge, and he is from Rhode Island. And he is one of the Karis, he's a Karis graduate. So some of you that are connected with Andrew Womack's group, you'll enjoy him. He's also running for political office. And so it's going to be kind of fun visiting with him, the big state of Rhode Island. So that's going to be neat. And then the week after that, the 28th, I have another couple that's coming in. Their name is Brandon and Ashley Galindo, and they are from Messiah's House, or been going there a long time. They're fixing to embark on full-time mission adventure, and they are precious young folks, and they have about 3 kids, and they have an exciting story to tell. So we've got some good things lined up for you. We're excited about all the things that are going on. So for in just a few minutes here, I want to kind of talk to you about my brother. I won't do that. Anyway, Mike is my brother, and we go way back, man. And Janice, we picked her up along the way. I don't, you know, and you're going to enjoy this couple.
It's
been a while.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll get into some more fun things to do with all of that here shortly. But Mike and Janice Hughes, so that's their name. So I have the switcher going on up here. So let me switch to a different channel here and try to get where I need to go. There they are, right there. And so to start out with, I'll just ask you guys to introduce yourself and tell you came from the group that you went with, Paramount Baptist Church. That's where you guys go, right?
Right. Yes.
And you went to Jacques.
Hockey.
Hockey.
Panama.
It just doesn't look like it's spelled, but
no,
it's
Hockey.
J-A-Q-U-E. Hockey.
J-A-Q-U-E. Okay. I thought it was like Jacques Rousseau.
No.
He was French. All right. Well, anyway, I'm glad y'all know where you went. So anyway, go ahead and kind of tell us a few things and let us know kind of what's up. And if you would, I'd like for people to get a hold of you somehow or be able to connect. I'll leave a way for that to happen, your email or something or another. If you want to, that's fine.
Cool.
I'm going to go first. Okay, well, I'm Janice Hughes, and Mike and I have been married for 45 years. So Fred picked me up on the side of the road, if that's what happened 45 years ago. Mike and I currently, we live in Amarillo and we go to Paramount Baptist Church. That's our home church. We've been there for almost eight and a half years now. Mm-hmm. And this mission trip came up. We started hearing about it about a year ago that our church was going to take two different groups. One group would go into Panama City and do ministry there. And then another group would be going down into the jungle into Hockey, Panama. And Mike and I both immediately were like, yes, we want to do this. We want to do this, but not real for sure about Hockey, Panama right off the bat. But we went to the first meeting and immediately both knew, yes, that's where God would want us to go and to just reach out there and go. Well, ended up that there were just three of us that went on into Hockey. 15 people went from our church, went to into Panama City and did ministry there. We left here, landed in Houston, landed in Panama City the same day, got on in a car and drove, met up with a team from First Baptist Church, Carter, Oklahoma, and they had seven. And we drove down the Pan American Highway, which is in very bad shape. We literally zigzagged our way down, but we had been forewarned, and so that was okay. And we made our way to a little town about 6 hours later and spent the night. So we had a very long day that first day. Early the next morning, we got up and got on a boat. There were 16 of us at that point that had gotten together, and 16 of us got on a boat and went 100 miles, then down the Pacific Ocean, then up into the river, the Hockey River, which took us into Hockey, the town of Hockey. And that's where we stayed at a place that's called Aventuras Hockey. Do you want to tell about the place?
Well, she forgot about the boat ride. The boat ride was 5.5 hours, and literally the waves were humongous. And we would go up in the air, and we would hit bottom, and it was fun, you know, the first 30 minutes. The next 4.5 hours, you know, it was, you just get drowned. And then whenever we got to where we were going, it took us so long that the tide went out, and then we couldn't get into the village that we're supposed to be going into at Hockey. And we had to get the natives, and they bring little bitty handmade boats that they cut out of a tree.
It was just a tree.
Put on a motor on the back, and they're kind of showing out, and we hit these 5-6 foot waves, and it was really an adventure getting into where we were going, you know, and that was the fun part. It was, you know, we felt like we was going somewhere that God had really laid it on our heart to go to, and it was an adventure getting there. And when we got there, it was nothing like what we had expected. But God just worked through all of it, being able to put us with the right people at the right place at the right time. I'll let you tell about
that. So Aventuras Hockey, so how it all started is there's six missionaries in Panama City that they love the indigenous people. They love and they want to share the gospel with indigenous people. But like most people have figured out, the best way to help anyone or to reach out to anyone is to find their strengths within their people and let them be the ones who then share the gospel. And so what happened was some people had gone in for a short-term missionary trip, and they're in Panama City. And Kenny and Cheryl Morris, missionaries there in Panama City, took them to a little place where they were selling stuff. And they met this lady, her name is Raquel. And they met her, and come to find out, Raquel and her sister and her brother and her aunt, who at this right now at today are all between 35 and 40 years old. Beautiful people. We'll show you a picture of them here in a minute. But Raquel started telling Kenny about how they had been raised by a Baptist preacher, and that they loved the Lord, and that they all had been called into missions, and that they wanted to share the gospel with indigenous people. And it was just a God-ordained moment. But that was 10 years ago. And so they started visiting with Kenny, and Kenny started building this relationship with them. They actually call them their kids. Kenny and Cheryl are about mine and Mike's age, and they call these four their kids, but they're in their 30s and 40s. And anyway, they, through some other events that happened, they found this place in Hockey, Panama, and it's Hockey is just 24 miles from Colombia. And the people that end up typically in the villages there, Hockey, and then on up the river that we had a chance to go to, all have come in from Colombia because they're running from and afraid of the drug cartel and things that are happening in Colombia. And that's the people that have ended up in these little villages along the way, including many people there in Hockey. And so they found this place, and it was a technology school for an agriculture technology school that the government of Panama thought would be a good idea. So they built this place. It's very primitive, but they built this place, and it just didn't go over that well. And so it was for sale, and they got this place, and now Kenny knew that these four kids, if you will, were going to be there. They needed a way to fund it. I mean, you can't just send people out and say, oh yeah, we'll throw some money at you every now and then. So they now have this, it's called Aventuras Hockey, and they have missionaries come in, and then they also they've had other guests that have come in, and they'll take them up the river. But they always share the gospel. The bottom line is to share the gospel. And so while we were there, the main thing that they wanted us to do was to help them to get this place even better situated for these four to live there. And so Mike had the opportunity, you can tell about what the ladies had asked Kenny to have built.
You know, one of the things that is real important to the Hawkeye people is restrooms. So we actually built a restroom for the girls, and I don't know if
you showed a picture of it. It kind of flew by. I saw it go by. I'd hate for you to flip back through there, but
anyway, we had to pour concrete at the bottom, and then we put cinder blocks, and we built it. That was right there. That's the cinder blocks that we were building, and so we had to make.
He's going to try to get that up there so they can see
there
it.
There you go. Yeah. So this is the cylinder blocks. And in hockey, you have to go get the sand. You got to go get the rocks. And you got to go make the mortar. And everything is just done by hand.
Because that y'all started without anything right there.
Yeah.
That's after they've done quite a bit of work.
So it pretty well took us all week long to build this thing. You know, we'd have to let the concrete dry, and then we'd pour the cinder blocks.
Then it rained.
And hockey is humidity is, I don't know how,
100%. 100% of the time.
All the time. And it is hot in hockey, you know. So You go take a shower, and before you dry off and put clothes on, you're already sweating again. So it's extremely hot there. But the little bathroom is real important to them and to their culture. You know, they use everything. They don't throw anything away, and they use the compost and stuff to fertilize the trees. And so it's a top of the line. Before they do the house, they want the bathroom, you know. So we got in on that. It was a fun deal to build. It's pretty elaborate, but that's how they wanted it. That's how we built it.
Yeah, some of the young men, they were young to us because we have kids their age, but younger 40-year-old guys that went with us from Carter, Oklahoma, and we'd not ever met them before, they were hard working guys. And Mike never missed a beat. I was proud of him. He worked riding along beside him, mixing that concrete and hauling water and hauling sand from the beach.
Wow.
And at one point, I've got a picture somewhere. I think it'll be somewhere on one of these slides that I was kind of videoing kind of what was going on. And all of a sudden I look and the oldest man out there, which was Mike, was on top of the ladder helping put the roof on with the other oldest guy, the missionary, and the two of them were up on top of that ladder. I was like, oh, I don't know if this is the best, but those ladies, those two sisters and their aunt, this is very, very important to them. This is how they're going to get their fertilizer for their trees, because we had fresh papaya and fresh mango and fresh plantains every meal, and they just picked it out of their yard, and then they'll plant their garden here in November, and they need that compost. Tell them how they use that, Michael. See, you can kind of see that there's two sides to it. That's how they're building the walls or putting the walls up. Uh-oh, that's when we went to Panama. Yeah, we did get to see the canal. That was our very last day. We stopped by the canal.
You know, and the canal is real important to Panama, but there's people from every country that goes through the Panama. I mean, it's a world mission at Panama.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and they tell us, you can see the city of Panama, but Panama is a third world place with a first world city, which is Panama City, and you can see the skyscrapers, and I mean there were fancy restaurants, there was so the canal really did change Panama and
Panama City,
but all you got to do is drive 1 mile out of Panama City and then you're back into a third world place. You know, you would think that they would really help all of the people, but they don't.
Yeah.
Another thing about hockey is the only way that you can get there is you got to fly in an airplane.
A very small airplane.
Yeah, a little bitty. The landing strip was real, real small. Or you got to go the way we did with the boat, you know, and out in the ocean. So there's no roads going to Panama. So these people are pretty well just stuck in Panama, you know, and up the river.
Yeah. So we had the opportunity. There were lots of kids. I guess, can they see those pictures? Would you stop right there? So you see this boat? So there were 16 of us. It's called the Salvacion, there were 16 of us that came. This is up the river, and we all had life jackets on, and we came up over in the Pacific Ocean on that thing. But it was, you know, I've had so many people say, were you scared? Were you ever scared? And I was never scared. We were never sick. We were never scared. It was right where we were supposed to be.
Perfect.
And there never was a time. And we, this river, this is, here's the Pacific Ocean, came up here. It goes on up, and it goes almost up. It goes up to the mountain, but the other side of the mountain is Colombia. And we did get to go up to those villages. That was one of the things we did get to do. We worked a lot there at the compound, or whatever you would call it, Aventurous Hawkeye. We worked there, but we went on a prayer walk. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was afraid, Fred. I was so worried. I wasn't worried, but I was concerned that how are these little, short, precious little people, this beautiful brown skin, that do not speak any English at all, how are they going to accept this tall, pasty white woman? And we were told right off the bat that when the Imara Indians have a baby, they, from the day they're born, they start teaching that baby to give. Mm-hmm. And they were the most welcoming, giving. We went on prayer walks, and they just invited us into their homes. At one point, we were walking, and one of the indigenous missionaries was with us. There's always an interpreter with us, Malala, and she, I never say her name right, Malala. She just full of energy, and she was asking each person that we see, can we pray for you, and how's your day? And so we walked up kind of it's very primitive. I mean, you just have to understand we were in a very primitive place, but their little health department kind of area. Asked this gentleman that was sitting out front, is, you know, how are you doing? And do y'all have anything y'all want us to pray about? And he said, yes. He said, my mother-in-law is dying.
Oh, wow.
And he said, would y'all go to our house and pray over my mother-in-law? And so he gets his bicycle, and we following. And keep in mind, there are no cars.
Nope.
There's no roads. The closest road was 100 miles back that we got off of it,
yeah.
And got on that boat.
Yeah.
So anyway, we followed him up to his house, very, very primitive house, and all the people, just like all the family would be, and all of the stray dogs. There were lots of stray dogs. Anyway, we climb up into their house. And there was his mother-in-law laying there. They kind of like a
lawn chair.
That's exactly. And they had a mosquito net over her, and she was in last stages of death. And we were able to pray, and they just, he and his wife just stood there and just cried. And he put his hand. No, she's the one who told.
She grabbed me
and told Mark. She knew enough English to tell him that she was a Christian, that her mother was a Christian.
That's cool.
And anyway, we had the sweetest. We had two 18-year-old boys that had come from Carter, and they were on our team that day. And they, I tell you, you have to be 18 to go on this trip. This isn't a trip for kids. This isn't a trip for, I mean, you got to be, it's not just for any and everybody to go. Yeah.
Well, you know, Romans 10, 13 talks about beautiful feet. And, you know, it's when we take a trip like that, Jesus uses us.
Yeah.
And it's just so powerful to know that God's there, to know that he's moving in your behalf, to know that he's protecting you. And
going before you, going in front of you.
You. Yes, I love the scripture that you were saying, you used earlier about Matthew 6:19, about how laying up treasures.
Yes.
That evidently was a scripture that meant a lot to you before you took off. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. A lot. A lot. It's still, I mean, just so that you know, we're headed back to Hawkeye in September. We, part of our heart was left there.
Oh.
And,
you know, I've been on lots of mission trips, but I always wanted to go back, and we've never had a chance to get to go back. And it all worked out to where we get to go back. And, you know, the whole purpose of what Hawkeye is these five missionaries are there. You have to get into the tribe or the chief. He has to be willing to let you to go into these villages. And they haven't been able to go to one of the villages that was upriver ever. And we actually got a hold of the chief, and he said, there was only two Christians in the whole village. Everybody else doesn't even know about God or anything. And the chief, he didn't either. He just said, I know that our people need something. And so we got to ride the river, and it was 2 or 3 hour ride up the river. And
so I'm going to interrupt. So whenever we made the decision, how much time do we have? Are we doing good? Okay. As long as we're not going too long. When we made the decision to do this, well, Mike has gone overseas on mission trips quite a bit. I've only been in the States, but I told Mike, I want to go. Oh, I want to go. But we're talking about going into the jungle, deep into the jungle. And so if you're going somewhere, I'm going with you. Or we're not going to separate, and you're not going to just do your wander off thing. And keep it right there. Well, that's where we're headed. So they put 14 of us on this boat. It's not very wide, you can see, and they have to adjust these big guys where everybody's in the right spot. And every now and then, one big guy decided to lean, the whole thing would lean. And nobody had a life jacket on. There wasn't room for a life jacket. And we head up the river to this village, two and a half hours up the river. And we get to a first village. It's the third village up the river. We get to the first one. Well, they've been there before. And they pull in. And I'm at the very back of the boat where the old women sit. So I'm at the back of the boat, and they said, I didn't know what was going on. And so finally a translator said, well, what's happened is one of the local fishermen has informed us that you can't make it up that river. It's low tide. And I didn't even know the tide made that much difference in the fishing world. But man, if you're on the ocean, it does. But the tide is low, and it's pulled the water out of the river, and y'all will high center on a sandbank. Now that's the Janice Hughes version of that. But half of you need to get out. And so if you five in the back, if y'all would just get out. Well, I'm in the back, and of course, Mr. Adventure here is at the very front of the boat. And I get out. Well, I'm assuming we're just going to readjust, and then I'll get back in with Mike, and it'll all be fine. But no, they're leaving to go on up the river, and Mike's looking up at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like,
we went up the river another hour and a half.
This was not part of the plan. The plan was, you go, I go. If you go to Columbia up that river, I'm going to Columbia up that river. Anyway, I never, ever, ever, friend, not once was I afraid. It was the most precious time. All these little kids, they just start running up at you. And then here comes their parents. And we had the sweetest time. While Mike's going wherever he went, he went on up the river. You can tell about your river visit.
You know, so we went on up the river, and we finally got to where we were going. And this was the chief that had never let anybody in, and we got to go to there. Well, they were having a town meeting, and they were kind of discussing whether they would let us come in and have a service or not. So there was one of the ladies let us go to her house.
It's pouring rain.
Yeah, it's raining cats and dogs. Mm-hmm. So we went to her house.
That's it. Stop right there. That's the picture.
That's the house that we went to right there. And they let us stay in the house. The steps going up, is they're kind of leery of snakes. And they think that if they build their house up, the snakes won't get in. But the guy told me it was basically so their dogs couldn't get in the house. But there were lots of them.
It's just a log. It's just a log. It
comes up there. But there was a little boy at the house, and he kind of entertained us. And I asked him what he was making. I've got a picture of it somewhere or another. There it is. And he's making soup for his dog. And he was the happiest guy I've ever seen. Most of the dogs over there, they don't get fed real good. But this little boy, he's making soup for his dog because the dog caught a rabbit and brought the rabbit to him. And they were cooking the rabbit. And so the dog gets rewarded. And they said that that will be enough soup to feed that dog for a month.
Wow.
So this little boy, he's really happy that his dog is getting there. If you look at the bananas on the other side, Beck.
They're plantains.
But they're plantains. And they look like bananas. They're just bigger. But they make everything out of these. They make, it basically is their potatoes. And they make, what all they make out of them? I mean, every meal we ate
some
these
kind of plantain,
funny looking bananas, you know.
But while y'all were there, while they were in this house and it was raining, the guide that had taken us up the river, his name is Hockey, he had taken us up the river, as you see at the very back. He, we're having, I mean, people came out of the woodwork at our, at the first village. And we're having just the best time and sharing testimony and just the sweetest people. And a guy that had cataracts and was going blind. We got to pray over him, and they just were so receptive. Well, all of a sudden, here comes Hockey walking up, and I'm like, why are you here? And where is Mike? And I look out there, and the boat is empty. Like, where? So you left Mike up the river. And sure enough, he had left all of them an hour up the river, came back down the river, and was, he said, well, I'm going to take y'all on up. We want y'all to get to go to the other village. Where is Mike? And so here I am with three teenagers, one of the missionaries and another young man, and me going up the river. This is not us, but here we are going up the river. And they keep telling me just right over the mountain is where Columbia is. And the whole time I couldn't help but just thank God for the opportunity. Because when we got there, it was the sweetest. The two ladies, I don't know, that's a whole different church service. But there were two ladies that were Christians. The chief had agreed that we could have a church service. And the two ladies that were Christians, there were just kids just lined up. And so when the missionary started singing and clapping, those little kids were just so happy to sing and clap and sing about Jesus. And they haven't had Jesus in their community in a long, long time. They haven't had people telling them and singing about Jesus in a long time. And it turned out to be a really sweet service. We got to pray for a man that was having night terrors. We got to lay hands on him and pray for him. And when we came back, we had been every night while we were there, we'd had supper and everybody kind of winding down, well, we would have a time. Because you have to know they're not that far from the equator, so their time is somewhere 15 minutes on either side of 6 o'clock, they wake up, and either side of 6 o'clock, it gets dark. The sun comes up, it gets dark. And so it had gotten dark, and we, each night they asked different ones to give their testimony. And so it was our night to give our testimony. And there's two women that they have hired, two indigenous women that they have hired, and they cook. And they cooked for us, sweetest ladies. And one of them has accepted the Lord, and she has four little kids, and they have a little boy, Santiago, that has accepted the Lord. He's 10, and he shared his testimony with us. Of course, it had to be translated, but there wasn't a sound in the room. Mm-hmm. It was the sweetest testimony. But their dad, Rafa, they all had come to know Jesus about a year ago at this Aventuras Hockey. And the way Panama is set up is anywhere in Panama, if you're indigenous, wherever, your children go to primary school where you live. But once they get into middle school, then they have to go to a larger village. Mm. So all these little villages, if they've got kids that once they get into middle school, they have to send them to hockey to go to middle school. And so this one lady that cooks for them, she has been staying close by in a little house, a little, what we would call a shack, but a sweetest little house close to Aventuras, and she helps cook. Well, Rafa is upstream 3.5 hours at the village that they live at, and he's got the three kids. And they had said that they were so on fire for the Lord for several months, but they've been separated because of the school. It's just a terrible setup, in my opinion, but nobody asked me. But Rafa had, do you mean to share this? Rafa had, they knew the last couple of months, he'd just really been straying, and that they just hadn't seen him around. And so he came back because the kids had had a vacation that week, and the teachers are assigned their villages. And so during vacation, they go home. Well, Rafa had come back down to get the teacher, and he was at that meeting that night that Mike and I shared our testimony. And Mike shared our testimony and shared his testimony about when he was saved, and then kind of some stuff that's happened through the years, and how God's used us and blessed us and been there for us. And then it was my turn, and I shared my testimony, but I told him, I said, to start with, I have to tell you that I was raised by a man who was 21 years old, and he came in, married my mom at 16 without telling her parents, and he was lost. My dad was lost, and he was very lost. He was an alcoholic. He didn't treat women nice. He just was lost and headed down a dark, awful path. And so the first 5 or 6 years of their marriage was bad. It was real bad. And some people here in Amarillo had invited them to church. They lived here in Amarillo. And dad kept saying, nope, not going to go, not going to go. And he went. And long story short, when my dad was saved, he was 27 years old, he literally repented and turned him the other way towards Jesus. And he still had his old self. Don't get me wrong. He had to get up every morning. He'd be the first to tell you if he was alive that he had to put on that armor of God. He still had some of that old self that he had to fight his whole life. But that's who raised me. And he raised me to be a woman of faith. And I accepted the Lord when I was 8 and knew that God had a calling on my life. I didn't know what, but I knew that he did. And so I had to share that with them, that there's a reason. It was because I had a dad who was radically changed. God changed his life that I am who I am. And I told him about that when I was 30, I kind of lost who I was, who Janice Hughes was, because I just was a good mom and a good wife and a good neighbor and a good daughter and a good sister and a good church woman. But I kind of lost who Janice Hughes was. And I remember reading the story about the paralytic man, and I told him, I said, because they tell stories. They don't, so wet. Like even every the Bible that we took was all crumpled up. I mean, so they tell stories from the Bible. That's how they preach to these people. I said, y'all, I tell stories. I'm going to tell you the story that the paralytic man was, some men took him on a mat, and they took him because they'd heard Jesus was back in town in Capernaum. And they went to the house where he was at, and it was too crowded. They couldn't get in. And so they had to figure out a way, because they wanted to take the paralytic man to the feet of Jesus. And so they went to the top, they tore a hole in the roof, and they lowered this man to the feet of Jesus. And I told him, I said, I just figured out that I had to make a decision. It was decision-making time when I was 30, that either I could be one of the men that was just standing around watching this all happen, because that's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. These guys were standing around. Or I could be like the teacher, Pharisees, the scribes, and just gripe about every little thing. Like they're not standing up straight. Complain about everything. And I'm really not, haven't been that much of a complainer in my life. Or I could be the woman of faith that I have been brought up to be. And I could bring my family and my friends and people to the feet of Jesus. Or am I the paralytic? Do I even know Jesus? And I knew Jesus. I knew that was not the case. I knew that the person I was in that story was the men of faith. I knew who I was in that story. I feel like that's where all of us are right now, is we have to decide.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep your hands in your pocket and just watch the world go by? Are you going to gripe and fuss about every little thing that comes along? Or are you going to take your friends and family to the feet of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take the Imbaroc Indians to the feet of Jesus? Well, Rafa was there, and I never met him. I didn't know who the guy was, and he was rubbing his head. And so the next morning, I got up at 5 every morning, and so I was having coffee with one of the missionaries, and Rafa come walking in at 5 in the morning, and he was broken. And he never said what part of whatever was said touched him, but I can't help but believe it was my dad, mainly because he started telling about the drug guys know that he knows all the little trails, and I don't want to say much about it just because of his privacy, but he wanted to get his life back straight with the Lord.
Awesome.
And it was, we could tell you story after story.
That's the crazy part about mission trips. You know, you're so loaded up with new stories and new things.
Well, and you know, and I knew immediately, because I think, Fred, I said it at the beginning, that I was like, God, how in the world, and this tall, white, pasty woman from America, how in the world will they even listen? And come to find out, it wasn't me. It wasn't mom.
No.
It never was us. It was the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It was Jesus.
Right.
And we didn't have to worry about it anymore.
Matthew 25 talks about, you know, how Jesus said, you know, you fed me when I was hungry. You gave me drink when I needed drink, you know. And the Pharisees were looking at it. The disciples. I said, when did we do that? You know, and it says, whenever you do to the least of them. And you get outside of the USA, you find that a lot of people live in least compared to you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever you are, you find out that you're one of the richest people in the world. And whenever you have opportunity to touch base with the least of them, you realize how important that is, how valuable that person is. You look at them as a person and not as anything less than that. You know, it's just, they're just less fortunate than you are. And it's such a blessing to be able to bless them, to give drink to them, to give a little comfort to them, to pray for them, to just hand them a laugh, belly roll and whatnot. So those are some pretty important.
You know what I love about this Adventurous Hockey is that the six missionaries there in Panama City, they have helped these two sisters, an aunt and a brother who they have a great, one of the sisters is their manager, One of them does all of, pays all the bills. One of them is their go-getter. She gets out there. She knows everybody in hockey. She knows every single person in hockey. She just loves. And then Otonio is their preacher, and that kid can preach. The first lesson that we said, and I was like, golly, this is kind of long. This is kind of interesting that it's so long. We'll come to find out he was having to tell it in Espanol, and then he had to tell it in Imbaral. And I didn't realize that, but I soon started listening because you could hear the Imbaral kind of went to a kind of a something deep in their throat added to it. You could tell whenever he switched over. But the six missionaries there in that are international on the missionary board, that they found the strengths of these four, and that's what they're building on, is their strengths. And then now they have found there's a preacher, Cesar, big old guy, they call him, I wish we could find a picture of, they call him their Swiss pocket knife.
Right.
Found him. He actually has a church in not far from Panama City, and he drives the boat, the big boat, across the Pacific Ocean, and he stays on the mission field with them. There was a picture of Mike and him. Let's see if I can find it.
That's it, right there.
Where?
Well, there's a picture of him right here. If you go to this one right here, there's one right here. Come down to this one. 25.
See that far? 25.
Count over. 1, 2, 3.
There's one right here.
No, next over. To the left. To the left. Huh? To the left. This way. I want to move it for you. Yeah, there you go. That's Cesar. Did it open? Yeah, so this is Cesar. And so Cesar is a preacher. He's not even related to these guys. But this guy can do anything.
Yeah.
He can do anything.
Great.
He can climb up a tree and get his coconut. And he did. Malala is the aunt. This is Mara. She's one of the sisters, and that's Otomio. He's the preacher. And they cooked. They cook every meal for us. They treated us. They washed our clothes for us.
Wow.
They treated us like we were.
No wonder y'all want to go back.
We want to go back.
Yeah, next time we're not going to take near as many clothes.
No. So, and they have a great system to purify our water. So it's buckets that they put this little purified drip thing, and it's just literally white buckets that it drips down, and they fix this fry bread. Every morning we have fry bread. It was great. Yeah.
Well, looks pretty good to me.
That's their little kitchen. But now keep in mind, and then this table, Kenny Morris, he can build anything, and he just built on that beautiful table. But the IMB bought like the stove, and there's a refrigerator, and they have a freezer. But the other people there don't have.
Yeah.
This is nice compared to
where. Other places.
Right. They just came across. This is a technology school that it didn't work, and it came up for sale, and they bought it, and they've turned it into a place for people to go and stay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really is.
There's no hot water. It's just cold water.
But it's the cool water down there is pretty welcome.
It's just cold water.
As long as you take a shower when the sun's up. Wait till the sun's down, it's cold.
Yeah. Kind of cold. Yeah.
There's no air conditioning. These cinder blades is your air conditioner. Our rooms were open just like that. Mm-hmm. There's no, I mean, it just.
It's hot.
And there wasn't a single mosquito anywhere down there.
Never. We're not going to even talk about that. We don't even want to talk about that. Somehow, some way.
There was one white guy there that he married one of the ladies from there, and he had a house, but he was never come to any of their services or anything, but he didn't speak Spanish, and so the only people that he talked to were the white people that were at the deal, Kenny, and so they just kind of made a friendship, but he showed no signs of wanting to be a Christian or to come to anything. Well, I'd met him and he had a little rig, and so he took me up and showed me his house, and he was real proud of it. And he came out of Nevada. He was a builder in Nevada, and he just moved out there to slow life down and everything.
And when you say house, very primitive. Yeah, you got to think primitive.
It's little bitty. And the electricity there is terrible, except here at the plant where they bought, because of the school, they run 220 and everything. But everybody else, like Wayne's house, he had a refrigerator and he had a
microwave.
If you turn the microwave on, you got to turn everything off, and it takes 25 minutes to pop popcorn, you know. So that was his big drawback about that. But anyway, I befriended him, and we went around, and I went with him two or three times. And all of a sudden, we had a church service, and here comes Wayne. And they just about fell over, but he had came to the service, and they gave him the deal. And so, you know, our big deal is we need to win Wayne to the Lord over there.
It's like we've got to go back. We need to go back. We've got some unfinished business.
Well, I'll tell you what, they can, you get out and away from where you normally are, and sometimes it's just phenomenal at what the Lord can do and how people can pull your heartstrings. So, you know, just jerk them out. But that's the whole idea that God has for us, though, is to let his light shine through us. You know, we're the light of the world. And so when we go, we can do it. And so that mission trip is life changing. It really is. They always are. I often try to convince people they need to go at least one mission trip.
Yeah. And we both have been on many, and we've helped with, and this is really not any different. The thing about this is we're excited we get to go back.
Yeah.
Because see those little faces? We got to go back.
Yeah.
Now, our church, so that you know, our church, Paramount Baptist Church, has partnered with them for the next 4 years.
Great.
So there will be teams going. What we're going to be actually going back for, there's going to be two other couples at least, and maybe one other. And it's a doctor who's an eye doctor and her husband. I'm an RN and have worked in the schools. Well, it's going to be a medical mission, but it's going to be for vision. She's got a way that we'll be able to fit people to glasses, and it's quite a setup. And so that's part of why my heart for sure was in going back, is because I love the medical side of it, and so we're going to get to go help people get their glasses.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
About to get it all those stories told.
We can keep it going.
We're about to run out of time, but I just want to tell you guys that we really, really appreciate you coming on our program, sharing all those things with folks, because it's just, you know, your heart is important, and to take time out of your daily life and go and give to people or go and minister to other people is a valid ministry. And so many people look at, you know, well, you got to be a preacher or a teacher or something to go do stuff like that. No, you don't. You just go love on people.
Yeah.
It's the goodness of God, the scripture says, that draws men unto himself.
Yeah.
All you got to do is just go show them the goodness of God. That's not tough.
Yeah.
That's not hard. So anyway.
So these people right here, now not Cesar, but these three right here, they have given up. They are about 130 miles from home, but it's about a 10-hour trip to their home, because you have to go back up the ocean, up that Pan American horrible highway. Wow. So they didn't give up. They have taken the call to live. Matter of fact, when they went there, they moved in February 2020.
Wow.
And the whole world shut down March 2020. And they were there for 8 months.
Timing, yeah.
Without, they lived off of fish and rice. It was a hard time, but they just grew in the Lord and learned the Imbaral language, because they've had to learn, and now they're having to learn the Wunan language. I mean, this is a language thing, that just because they speak Spanish, this is a different language. And so, yeah. And then there's the other sister. She's not in that picture. It's great. We're just going to help them.
That is awesome.
About Jesus.
I'll tell you what, Mike, if you wouldn't mind, we pray over people and just pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the people in Hawkeye, and God, we lift them up to you. God, we just pray that your will be done over there, and that there will be a bunch of people come to know you as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
We thank you for the chiefs having the willingness to let us go in and witness to people. And God, may that village just turn around and come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, we lift up the missionaries that are there, and that they've gave their heart and their soul. And we just pray that you'd just keep blessing them and using them to win people to you. God, we lift up Wayne to you, and we just pray wherever he's at, whatever he's doing, that you would put his heart to want to serve you and come to know you as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
God, we thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives. And we just pray that we can be witnesses for you. We just pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, join us again next week. We've got great folks coming down the tough pike. So I think I'm booked all the way till October. I think I'm booking in October right now. I may have one or two left in September, but there's some great talent coming, great stories, great people that are going to be on the program. So tell your friends to remind everybody, kind of even, you know, when you share or whatever on your place, it really does help us get the word out and find people. You can find us almost anywhere. We're really working on Rumble right now to try to go live on Rumble, but I don't know if we're going to get that done or not. But I do have now the ability through Rumble, you can watch on Roku, and you can watch on Fire Stick. So it's getting out there a lot. And then we turn all into a, and it goes everywhere. I mean, it's surprisingly, Pandora is the number one hotspot. I mean, we get tons of people watching on Pandora. I didn't know it was even a platform that did this podcast at all. So it's kind of been interesting to see how all of this shapes up. Anyway, join us again next week. We'll see you then. God bless you. And
if you enjoyed the show today, be sure and get the download and the show notes that we have available for you. If you agree that this is place to be, invite your friends. Use those little buttons to connect us to your Facebook friends and others. And if you have not subscribed, do it today. Check out our free downloads. This is the Fred Hughes Show, signing off.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.